subject.
Okay. To those of you who are here, we'll start with the inter-registrar transfer policies Part B update and presentation of the final report. We have Michele here to give us that presentation, so let's start that session now. Operator, please start the recording.
Recordings are started.
Thank you very much. So we can start the session now, Michele, if you're ready to give that report. Thank you.
Thanks, Stefan. This is the IRTP Part B final report. So IRTP, for those of you who aren't familiar with it, is the inter-registrar transfer policy, which governs the transfer of domain names between registrars. This PDP is one in a series, and we've been asked to deal with several questions. Should there be a process of special provisions for urgent return of hijacked registration, inappropriate transfers, or change of registrant? We were also asked to look at registrar lock statuses, standards, best practices, and also clarification of denial reason number 7 in the current policy. We started on this back in June 2009, so kind of congratulate ourselves, we're now into our second anniversary. We had an initial report back in May of 2010. A proposed final report was put out for public comment in February of this year, and we put out our final report for publication at the end of May with 9 recommendations for the GNSO Council's consideration. So the recommendations, and the key thing here is that they all have full consensus support from the working group. And breakdown as follows. 4 recommendations for changes and or additions to the existing policy, including the addition of a transfer emergency action contact, section 3 of the IRTP, denial reason number 6 and denial reason number 7. 2 recommendations requesting an issues report related to thick who is, and change of control and denial reasons 8 and 9. 1 recommendation is for the promotion of a previous ESSAC report. 1 recommendation is to defer an issue. 1 recommendation is for ICANN staff to do better work on standardization and clarification on some of the WHOIS status messages. So breaking this down in more detail, charter question A, whether a process for urgent return resolution of a domain name should be developed as discussed within the ESSAC hijacking report. So the recommendations we came up with, requiring registrars to provide a transfer emergency action contact for urgent communications relating to transfers. The goal of the TEAC, we've invented a new acronym, is to quickly establish a real-time conversation between registrars in case of emergencies such as hijacking. Responses are required within 4 hours of the initial request, although final resolution of the incident may take longer. The key thing here is that the TEAC is only available to registrars, and nobody's expecting miracles. It's more about getting a conversation and communication going rather than getting an actual resolution. We're also talking about promoting proactive measures to prevent hijacking, such as outlined in the recent report of the Security and Stability Advisory Committee, a registrant's guide to protecting domain name registration accounts, also known as ESSAC 044. Charter question B, whether additional provisions on undoing inappropriate transfers are needed, especially with regard to disputes between a registrant and admin contact. And the policy, as far as we're concerned, is clear that the registrant can overrule the admin contact, but how this is implemented is currently at the discretion of the registrar. So we would like to request an issues report on the requirement of thick who is for all incumbent GTLDs. That was discussed a bit yesterday during yesterday's GNSO meeting. We're also requesting an issue report to examine the change of control function, as well as a review of locking procedures as described in IRTP reasons for denial 8 and 9. The change of control function we're talking about here is when is the change of control of the domain name. So, for example, if the domain is registered to entity A and changes to entity B, how that is actually handled. modifying section 3 of the IRTP to require that the losing registrar notifies the registrant of the transfer out. Under the current policy, that is optional. Quite a few registrars do it, but they aren't. It isn't mandatory for them to do so. Chair, question C, whether special provisions are needed for a change of registrant when it occurs near the time of a change of registrar. The policy does not currently deal with change of registrant, which often figures in hijacking cases. And the recommendation we came up with here is the clarifying IRTP reason for denial number 6 to make it clear that the registrant must give some form of informed opt-in express consent of having registrar-specific locks applied, and the registrant must be able to have the lock removed upon reasonable notice and authentication. Charter question D, whether standards or best practices should be implemented regarding use of registrar lock status. And we came up with a couple of recommendations here. If a review of the UDRP is conducted in the near future, the issue of requiring the locking of a domain name subject to UDRP proceedings should be taken into consideration. Also, standardising and clarifying who is status messages regarding registrar lock status. The working group recommends that ICANN staff is asked to develop an implementation plan for community consideration, which ensures that a technically feasible approach is developed to implement this recommendation. Charter question E, whether and if so, how best to clarify denial reason number 7, in other words, that a domain was already in lock status, provided that the registrar provides a readily accessible and reasonable means for the registered name holder to remove the lock status. After discussing this at length, we recommend deleting denial reason number 7 as a valid reason for denial under Section 3 of the IRTP, as it is technically not possible to initiate a transfer for a domain name that is locked, so you can't deny it, hence making the entire thing obsolete. We would recommend instead that denial reason number 7 should be replaced by adding a new provision, a different section on the IRTP, on when and how domains may be locked or unlocked. And for further information, the final report, public review, the previous comments, and the existing policy. So if anybody has any questions, please go ahead.
Thank you very much, Michele. Any questions? Sorry. Chuck.
Yeah, for those that are newer to the council, you may not even be aware of the fact that most of the people on this particular working group have consented to continue after IRTP, PDPA, and they're now doing B, and we're hoping they will keep going C, D, and E. But I think it's really important that we recognize that and not only thank them, but compliment them on the work. Now, A didn't result in any policy changes, but there's actually some consensus policy changes that would occur in this these particular recommendations. And they, I personally believe, and I think the registries as a whole believe this, that it will be some good improvements to the registrar transfer policy without making any significant changes to the original consensus policy. So I personally thank Michaela and the and everybody on that working group for the long work they've done and for producing this report and these recommendations.
Thanks, Chuck. We echo those thanks, obviously. Any further questions? Wendy?
Thanks. So you said that all of these recommendations were recommended out unanimously. I wonder whether there is anything controversial lurking underneath that you think the council should be aware of, or if not, if that's a recommendation that we go ahead and adopt this as you've proposed.
Wendy, well, thanks for the question. No, there's no black helicopters, I'm afraid. Sorry to disappoint you. There's a couple of things that we did identify that we think need to be looked at more closely. At present, if you look in the consensus policies, there is nothing about a change of control of a domain name. So when you want to change the control of a domain, a lot of the time people will just transfer it between one registrar and another. So that's something we think should be looked at. There's other things like to do with the who is and various other things, which is more to do with just making it easier for people to understand where a domain is at in terms of what its status is. The transfer emergency action channel concept is, it's pretty much what it says on the tin. I mean, it's not particularly complicated. There's nothing strange about it. It's just really an idea of getting some kind of dialogue going between two registrars and to, you know, get a resolution quickly. No, I mean, there's nothing particularly strange. I think on the motion that was being discussed yesterday, there were a couple of points that, you know, I think Tim was dealing with, you know, removing a couple of points and tweaking them a small bit. But as I say, there's nothing really strange, or, and there's no black helicopters. Sorry.
Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you. Chris Chaplin from the business constituency. You're right, there's no black helicopters at all, and perhaps it was a model working group, really, because, you know, it took us a long time, but I think we've come up with some good resolutions. What was a little bump at the end was going from the report into the resolution that we have with us, and I've checked around with people with better minds than I, like Mikey and McKelly and others, and we are all happy with the resolution. But there is perhaps a process point that we need to be aware of, and this is a general point, I think, that the people on the planet who most know the subject, and it is a complicated subject, need a little bit of time just to make sure that the resolution does dovetail in with the report, because it was complicated, it really was. And we are there, but it was a bit of a rush, and I think perhaps, again, as a process point for the future, that little time cycle needs to make sure it's there in working group reports. Thanks.
Tim, can you just enlighten us as to where we are specifically with the motion itself? Because we had some discussion on this yesterday, and we had agreed that we would pick this up now, and if we might find time to talk about the motion itself. You'd expressed some possibility that the motion might need some further tweaking, so just wondering where that was.
Sure. I don't believe that will be the case. I think we did come to some resolution yesterday that the motion as it stood, some edited from the original motion, but as it stood at that point was probably good. And I think McKaylee, you know, kind of circulated that and asked if there was any feedback or what. And I don't believe there has been any. So I think we're good on the motion at this point. Marika might have a different view. I don't know.
Yeah, I think the only thing is to remove that one item under the request for an issue report on IRGPC, where we said that's already covered by the other recommendation. I think that just requires to be deleted, that sentence, right?
Well, we did talk about that, but I guess it was the way I felt about it ultimately, which I'd kind of went back and forth, was that it really didn't matter whether we left it or not, because if the other resolutions are accepted, it'll be basically a moot issue when we do get to IRTPC, and then we can just deal with it in the charter for that particular working group.
Right. So you then basically expect that in the issue report we'll indeed dive into that issue and then outline as well, okay, but actually part on the recommendations that were adopted, this question might no longer be relevant. So you recommend just keeping it in, but removing, because I think there was discussion as well on removing the or admin contact at the end. I think that was an issue or a question for some, and leaving it like that in. Is that correct?
That I'm not real sure about. Or admin contact.
I don't know, and Michaela might be better positioned to explain, but there were some people on the call, I think, that expressed a concern that the way it's currently worded, it says FOA being sent to the registrant or admin contact, and I think some felt that that question wasn't appropriately phrased.
But the IRTP is currently worded refers to the transfer contact, and then in other parts of the it makes specific references, and we have it very clear that where there is a conflict between the admin contact and the registrant contact, the registrant wins. So the wording, I think, of that one sentence where it specifies admin and registrant, just by rewording it as transfer contact, would work better.
So let me just go back then and ask if you feel the working group would have any issue if we just deleted that then instead of... If we're going to reword it or mess with it, then we might as well just delete it since it's already dealt with elsewhere.
Well, personally, I don't think there'd be any issue with just deleting it because, as already discussed, it's been dealt with elsewhere, and most of the working group are around, so if anybody has any strong feelings about it.
So maybe if no one says anything today, maybe we can just leave that. If there's other issues, you know, be sure and bring them to me and I'll, or to one of the other council members so that we can bring them up. Otherwise, I'll just plan on kind of making a friendly amendment to the motion to delete that, and that way we can move forward.
Yeah, I at this stage, you can just suggest changes. The motion hasn't been seconded yet, so...
I think Jonathan was going to have had the last time, and it was never...
Are you... Yes, I was going to ask you if you maintain the second that... You're happy to. Can you say this?
Yeah, for the record, I'm happy to maintain the second.
Thank you. So the wiki can be amended with that, updated to show that.
That was Jonathan.
And you will suggest the change that you've just mentioned. Thank you. So it looks like we have a motion that we are ready to consider on Wednesday. Are there any further questions, Christina?
I just want to remind everybody that the recommendation number 7 issue that the IPC is going to talk about at Constituency Day. But that's the only issue I can see from my perspective.
Can you clarify?
The language... I don't have the motion. Do you have the motion?
Yeah, it's going to be put up. It's put up now.
All right.
Yeah.
If you scroll down, I want to say it's like number 4C.
Deleting, yeah, denial, 4C. Reason 7?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that one. That one, 4C. Only because it really just doesn't seem to fit. It's already encompassed by the preliminary issues report on the UDRP, and I think it just makes sense to have it just be cleaner.
No, I don't think that was... You could be heard very well.
Okay. You know, like I mentioned yesterday, it just doesn't seem to fit in here. It's already... This idea, the principle behind it, is already encompassed in the UDRP preliminary issues report, as I understand it, and it just seems to be cleaner. You know, there's nothing in... I've gone through the final report like 3 or 4 times, and I haven't really found any discussion of where that came from. I know that there was an explanation yesterday, but I think it's just going to be confusing to have that just kind of random resolution inserted there where anybody who wanted to get an understanding of where that came from and how it developed, there's nothing... I mean, maybe I'm missing it, but I've gone through the final report a couple times and I haven't seen it in there.
So... You'd be... you want to come back to... Okay.
I mean, one of the questions that we were asked to deal with was in relation to lock statuses and clarifying lock statuses so that all parties involved could understand when and how locks were applied to domain names. Now, locks in relation to UDRPs obviously were discussed, and one of the areas of concern for us is that locks around UDRP aren't as clear as they could be, which is where this came from. So it isn't random. It isn't random, and it isn't something that just kind of appeared randomly there. I mean, there was a reason for it.
No, I understand that, but I'm talking about if you look at the final report, and I'm happy to be corrected. But when you go through it and you try and kind of connect the text from the final report with the recommendation, there really isn't a nexus there. And it just seems to me that if all we're doing is recommending that if a review of the UDRP is conducted in the near future, blah, 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 I mean, that doesn't really help us. Why not just deal with it in the context of the UDRP issues report that we're going to be acting on in the next 3 months anyway?
I think we'll just have to disagree on that. I'd have to disagree with you on that, personally. Yeah.
Like I said, I'm happy to stand corrected. I mean, if you can point me to the discussion in the final report, I'm happy to
I'm not a lawyer, Christina. I mean, from my I'm not aware of the nuances and that you may have with us having this here. But I mean, from my own personal perspective, you know, this appeared in our final report because it was something that was of concern that needed to be addressed, and we couldn't just ignore it because it also came up as a comment, I believe, actually from the IPC. Was it IPC? Oh, it was WIPO. It was actually WIPO's comment on one of our previous reports, and that's where it came from. And that was and because we went through the comments that we received, and we made sure that we addressed each and every comment. So, you know, it didn't appear randomly. And I think within the context of us actually doing a full and complete body of work related to this, we couldn't just simply brush it under the carpet and ignore it.
Okay, Jeff.
Yeah, I think at this point, it is in the final report. It's a recommendation that they have. I just think it's not appropriate for us to play with the recommendations. We can actually, what we can do, and the recommendation I made yesterday was to actually vote on these separately. And we could always vote that down if that's what the council wants. I think it's, from my personal view, it's appropriate to be in the motion. Again, if we vote it down, we vote it down. But it was a recommendation of the final report, so we should. I don't see a reason why it should be deleted from the motion.
I'm not suggesting that it wasn't a recommendation and that we should take any action with it with regard to the final report. I'm just saying that in the context, and, you know, I'm happy to pursue this with WIPO, but I bet they'd be willing to say, yeah, you're right. Now that we're doing this separate look at the UDRP, it doesn't make any sense to have this in here because there isn't really anything that's going to happen.
So I might be slow, but I don't understand why. I mean, if you just think it'll cause confusion.
I'm just a believer that you say what you mean, you mean what you say, and if there isn't really any action called for here.
But there is. They're saying if
in the near future. So, you know, what happens if we get down like a year for my point is I don't think it makes any sense to have in the context of a motion that is calling for implementation of all of the various recommendations that we're not implementing anything here.
Can I just ask Marika to clarify what's in the report so that everyone else is on the same page?
This is Marika. So if you look actually at the page 27, the last bullet point there, talks about the discussion the working group had on this item, and it was raised by WIPO, and noting that the working group feels that it should be considered in the context of any potential UDRP review. But commenting on the language there, I think it actually is indeed appropriate and an action item, because indeed if you say if it is conducted in the near future, the council could decide, and if a review is not conducted in the near future, that this issue might be considered separately. For example, that could be a potential approach if indeed a UDRP review wouldn't happen. So I think in that sense, it is a placeholder to a certain extent of saying, well, if the UDRP review happens, then that issue moves in there, but the council, you know, keeps the possibility open that if that doesn't happen, to take that issue maybe as a separate item into consideration if it feels that it's warranted to do that.
Can I make a suggestion?
Well, hang on. Let's keep the queue. I have Carlos and Tim. I also want us to talk about the thing that Jeff alluded to, which is voting on these resolutions separately, because they don't all have the same threshold if we take them separately.
So that's an issue we've struggled with in the past on other motions, and it sometimes does make sense to separate these things out. So if you can bear that in mind when you're commenting on this. Carlos.
Yes, very short. Thank you, Stefan. At this point, I agree totally with Christina. For me, it's very clear the situation. Sorry.
Thank you. Tim.
Yeah, I feel like I'm going to be in a difficult spot come Wednesday. But I just want to point out that, you know, as Margie confirmed when we were discussing this yesterday, you know, it's already done. I mean, it's already on the list of issues and the issues report. So basically, even though we haven't voted on this recommendation, it's basically been followed through on, more or less, through a different course. So, you know, whether we leave it in and vote on it separately or take it out, the effect is not, it has, in my mind, zero effect either way. And my interest is more in, let's try to have a motion that's going to have as much support as possible. And I'm not implying that we're going to get 100% support on everything, but the closer we can get to that, I think the better. And that this has already been addressed might be something we want to consider. Throw that out there.
Tim, what about the suggestion that we vote on the resolve clauses separately? How would you feel?
Yeah, I think we already agreed to do that. In fact, I think it's almost a necessity because there's a threshold issue with at least one of the resolves.
Thank you. I had Jonathan next.
Mine is, I hope, a constructive suggestion, at least a thought, is whether I mean, part of the problem with this is that the near future is completely unspecific. And I just wonder if there's an opportunity to capture that in a specific time frame. And it's not the answer, but it might at least improve it, like, as in, is conducted in the next 12 months.
Zahid?
Without getting into an argument, basically, I think I'll just repeat what I said yesterday. We would support. We actually had a discussion on this issue this morning within the BC, and I think the support would be to have this item actually not be there if we were going to get support on it. And so, just want to reiterate that you know, it makes it easier for us, and I think Tim's suggestion makes sense, which is that if it doesn't detract from the resolution per se, then not having it there makes it very easy for us to basically move ahead and vote on it without any issues. Yeah, just wanted to add support to what Christine had said.
Jeff.
Yeah, I'm kind of, and this may come up in the PDP context. I think what I want to try to avoid, and this is a common position I've had for a long time, is I don't want the GNSO to be a legislature. I don't want us to be top down. What I want is if a working group comes to us and makes certain recommendations, that we consider all those recommendations, even if it means voting them down. I just think it's unfair for a council to substitute its opinions for that of the working group. This working group had unanimous consensus that all of these recommendations come to the council and be duly considered by us. If that means we vote it down, great. At least we've considered it. But I don't think we should be getting the business of substituting our own thoughts. I know you may not like it. Christina may not like it. I might not like it. The point is, we have an obligation to act on it, and I think we should do that.
We have an obligation to look at it, and we can ask the group to rework it. We don't have an obligation to act on it now.
But we're not asking the group to rework it.
No,
we're
just saying.
We're eliminate it from the motion.
I'd just like to comment just briefly on that, Jeff. And I don't disagree with you, and that's why I feel like I have a feeling we're going to have a suggested amendment, and I got to figure out if I'm going to say it's friendly or not, or even if I can, maybe based on what Jeff was saying. So I'm not looking forward to this, but I think that in this particular case, this really isn't a policy recommendation. I mean, even if we vote in favor of it, it's not really, you know, anything involved with consensus policy directly. It's suggesting that something be considered next time we consider or potentially review something that's a consensus policy. So I'm not sure if that affects things or not. But again, what I if we didn't, I guess what I'm saying is that we don't ignore it. It's just that the fact that it's already done. It's a recommendation that's already been, it's done. It's there. That was my point, not that we're necessarily want to skip over recommendations that, that they made.
Thanks, Tim. Mikey.
Thanks, Stefan. This is Mikey. I was on the working group. I was sort of the one that raised the issue of the process problem that we've got here, and one option that you might do is just send this resolution back to us for a rework and bring it to your next meeting.
Well, that's not the resolution, but the work itself is exactly what I was saying we could do.
Yeah.
The resolution, the motion has been made. So far, it's not off the table. If the council wishes it to be sent back or some more work to be done, then it will decide on Wednesday, I think. Any further questions on this?
Just one other suggestion. I just asked Christina that, and perhaps Zahi too, that in your discussions, you know, besides deleting it, you know, is there some other option, you know, to maybe discuss?
I mean, I would be fine with transforming this into kind of just following on the lead that, that we've adopted lately at Jeff's suggestion, that have it be the GNSO Council acknowledges that, you know, recommendation 7 of da-da-da-da-da. I would be fine with that.
So can you propose that as an amendment, perhaps?
Yeah, I mean, obviously I still need to, you know, talk about it with the constituency, but absolutely. I mean, I'm fine doing that. I mean, if that works for you guys and that works for you, you know, that solves my problem.
So I think we've got, at least we've worked out the process. We know where we're going on Wednesday. We know we're going to consider this motion as separate resolve clauses with...
I just actually, it would be helpful in talking through it in constituency day to have it, I mean, are we literally going to go resolve by resolve, or are we going to group the ones that have the same threshold?
I would rather go resolve by resolve, because okay, it's just, if we decide to split, it's just easier
okay. No,
process-wise to...
That's fine. I just want to make sure that everyone's clear as to what we're going to do.
So just to make that clear for everybody, on Wednesday when we come to consider this motion, we will take each resolve clause. I will call for a vote on each clause. I've asked staff to help me work out the thresholds because I'm so good at maths. I always want, you know, people to check my maths. But
good at what?
Mathematics.
You said maths?
Yeah.
Very good.
Plural?
Yeah.
And... And so we'll go through each resolve clause, vote on those, and take each in turn. Okay? Chris.
Thank you. Yes, my comment, actually, before the statement you've just made, really speaking as a rank-and-file member of the working group, and thanking Chuck for what he said about the long road, because we have got a long road. I wasn't on A, but we're now on B. We finished B and nearly finished B, and there is a long road ahead. So from our side of the fence, I like to see our recommendations up there. With respect to Jonathan, I don't like the idea of change of putting a date in there, because that's changing what the working group suggested. I like to see it up there, and I would actually be rather happier if the council voted it out on Thursday than it got taken out now, simply for maybe the wrong reason, but also the right reason of the morale of the working group in the wider context. Thank you.
Thanks, Chris. I mean, we are very mindful of both, as we said earlier, the work that you've put in, not you personally, but everybody on your group, and... we are also, when we come to take these decisions, mindful of making sure that the group understands when we report back to them on the decisions that we've taken, why, how we got there. This is also why we hold these sessions as open sessions during the weekend, so you can all participate and understand what the discussions that we're having are. So thanks for making that comment. Any further comments? Michele, do you have any closing remarks?
You behave. Not really, no.
I've had enough.
Okay, in that case, let's cut this short. We've got a short 5-minute break, and then we'll reconvene, please, for the last session of our weekend before we break for the GAC board meeting, and that will be the policy development process work team. Thanks very much. Operator, this session is now closed.
Would you like me to transfer you to the next call, sir?